Beautiful.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Mayor and her revelation, I want to say. And Kurt's boldness. You know, I admire that when sometimes you have to say, hey, maybe you should just seek the Lord, take a break and rest. Awesome. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for him. You know? Moving on us in this hour, I believe, as the message today, and corresponds alongside of what Mayor and Kurt have said this morning. And revelation of the need of him. You know, he desires a relationship, not a tradition, not a form of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, not a way of laws, of trying to be a good person, but basically, come as you are and have a relationship with him. Having a relationship with God is the most important process of life. And, you know, some of us, like he mentioned earlier, in two aspects. One, there was the one who didn't quite believe in God or knew God. I forget what the term he used. What was that? Agnostic. And then there's the ones that just don't believe in God, period. And then you have the ones who believe in God but don't have that relationship. So there's like three forms of where you're at. Where are we at? Like, where are you at? Where I question myself, Lord, do I have that relationship that you long for me? And I believe God does use situations to wake us up. And I take the gentleman's testimony from when he was involved, or was he there, or I don't know if he was there or not, in the last horrific situation we just had in the United States, as far as that mass shooting in Vegas. And then I take Kurt's testimony of what took place at 9/11 and in the World Trade Centers in New York City. And these tragic situations stir the hearts of his people. And I truly believe God loves everyone so much. He loves the whole world, not just America, not just Asia or Europe or anywhere else around the world, but the whole entire world. He loves everyone, every race, creed, color, the whole nine yards. He loves everyone. And a lot of times we don't understand, what is our purpose? What is our purpose in life? What just to die and fight the way through life, to survive, to be able to enjoy yourself and have a good life? And then, you know, as we get old, we maybe supply enough inheritance to pass on to our loved ones or what have you, and, you know, and then move on. That's it. But that's not really the reality of life. The truth is, and I take the word of what Pastor Kurt said in his opening message, was a resurrection. You know, we need to come to this place of resurrection, but we don't even know what the resurrection is. What is the resurrection? It's not when we leave this earth and then we go into our glorified body when we leave this earth and go into that glorified body. And that's not the resurrection. The resurrection is now. The resurrection is a transformation of spirit and soul. Not many people understand this mystery, this truth. It's almost like a marriage. What is a marriage? When two people become one, you know? And this here, truth, is the way of life. It's the way of eternal life. It is a history, a form of life that we have to have a knowledge of. For example, we are so-called born in sin. How many people have heard that statement before? We are born in sin. The reality of the truth is, it's not like we were born in sin and now we have to find this forgiveness of sin so that we are now without sin. The reality is we were born in a nature of sin, a nature that leans towards sin. How many people understand that one? So when you were born, it wasn't like you were born bad. You were born with a nature that is driven to go to that sin. It's called the soul. The soul is led to a nature of sin. How many people understand that one? And there is another nature that lives inside of us. It's a little tiny seed of God. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone is taking the natural Son, meaning Jesus, when the reality is it's the spiritual Son, which is Christ. And we need to understand this. In order to understand this, then we can move forward in our salvation. If we don't understand the creation of eternal life, then we'll never be able to find eternal life. So eternal life lives in that little tiny seed that is inside of you called Christ. It's the divine nature. It's the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. How many people are following me on this? Good. Because I wouldn't want you to say you love God and never receive eternal life. And it's possible. There are many scriptures in the Bible that proclaims that truth. Where this one scripture, there were believers that went up before him. And the Lord says, get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And then they pleaded out, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. So evidently, they had a relationship with God, right? If they said, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name, and he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So that began to open up my eyes in a broader way of saying, this message needs to be told. I know it, but we have to tell it. You see, it's one thing to have salvation and understand the mysteries and the truths and live out your life in salvation, but to lead people down a road that will never lead to eternal life, to me, is detrimental. I don't want that responsibility on my hands to see people listening and never find the truth. Hear them listen, but never find the truth. Leading sheep blind, speaking a message that doesn't even lead them to eternal life. But I come with a simple message of how to lead you to eternal life. It's the truth. And the truth is, we were born in a nature that leads us to sin. And it's called the soul. How many people heard that? We were born with a nature. It's called the soul. Another term, I had to write some things down so I stay on track. First time in a long time. Is also called the flesh. I thought there was more, but I already spoke about the soul and the sinful nature. And the other one's the flesh. You know, the Bible always talks about the fruits of the flesh. And they don't really put it together. What is the fruits of the flesh? What is the flesh? Obviously, it's the sin nature. It's the soul. And the soul is driven to do the fruits of the flesh. The soul is driven to sin. The soul's only purpose is to lead you down that path of unrighteousness. Now, some denominations, some religions, some doctrines, some people out there that are preaching that you need to save your soul, and your soul is what goes up into heaven. That's not true. Your soul needs to die and something needs to be resurrected. It's that seed of Christ that dwells in every human being around the world. It's like your heart. You have a mind. Your mind says, I love you. But your heart can say, I love you too. Amen? Your mind, I look at it as it's a conditional love. Oh, I love you because you do these things for me. But your heart looks at an individual and says, no, I just love you and I don't even know why. It's not like you do anything good for me. Matter of fact, you just give me a big headache, but I love you. I call that the spirit. The spirit has an unconditional love and the soul has a conditional love. And that's just some example of knowing that there is a seed of Christ that lives within each and every one of us. How many people are following this? Because it's very important in order to run the race. It's very important to be transformed and come into eternal life. We need eternal life, whether it's now on earth or when we leave this earthly body, but we need eternal life. And the soul's job is to lead you down the life of sin. That's what it is. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. The soul's job is to lead you down a bad path. It's called the fruits of the flesh. The soul lives, thrives on the fruits of the flesh. But the Spirit of God, which is that tiny little seed that needs to be resurrected, because right now the seed is in you, but it's dormant. It's like, help. Give me some water. Give me some food. Help. I want life. And the soul is like, shut up. I got this covered. My purpose is to destroy this body. And soul is led down to damnation, hell, forever, for eternity. That's what the soul is. Soul is a sin nature. This is the way we were born. They were trying to tell us a long time ago, you're born in sin. You're born in sin. But they didn't know the mystery. They took the story of Jesus and said, if you accept him as your personal savior and receive the fact that he died for you, then your sins are forgiven, and you can live because you believed that story 2,000 years ago. And you can go ahead and live your life the way you want to live it and not cast down the fruits of the flesh. But you can live the fruits of the flesh. Now, does that make any sense? If you're going to live the life of sin, but yet believe something washed away your sins, then you got eternal life? I'm sorry. We've been duped. It's called deception. And we come under deception. And the Bible even says to be careful about that deception because it even deceives the elect. That means that even an intelligent person can be subject to that false truth. And the soul, because it's empowered you, it's a sin nature and it doesn't want you to know the truth, the soul embraces it. Righteousness on the soul lets the soul look at it as it's good, and it doesn't allow you to transform or become born again or resurrected. It keeps you in a place of deception. And the soul's father is the father of lies, the spirit of deception. This is the truth. I'm laying the truth down for you so that you can understand eternal life for yourself, so that you can find eternal life now and forever. If we continue to live in the soul, the sin nature, which is lying to us all the time because of the power of pride, the power of the Spirit is the opposite of pride. It's humility. Humility brings power to the Spirit. Humility says that I need God. Humility is the beginning of a relationship with God. Pride saying, there is no God, I don't need God, I can do it all myself. Pride says, you know, I know that there is a God, but I'm not really sure if there's a God. So, you know what? I'll say a couple of prayers when I need them, and then, you know. We spoke about three different degrees with Pastor Kerr earlier, you know. And pride dupes us with those degrees. It tells us so that we never come into that place of transformation. We never come to that place of understanding how to deny the soul, the sin nature, the flesh, and be transformed into Christ, the divine nature, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the same as Christ. The Holy Spirit, you know, some people bring in the Trinity. This is how so confusing it got by the Trinity of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son is Christ. And I want to try to take confusion away. The Son is Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Son of Christ. And if you come to the fullness, it's the Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So I just want us to just kind of keep it simple, not get all confused. There are two parts, the soul and the spirit. In the beginning is the soul. Until you receive grace, we're saved by grace. Has anyone ever heard that saying, we're saved by grace? Grace is the only thing that saves us. Now, some people take grace as God's mercy. He touched you. He gave you an awareness of Him, and He touched you, and now you're saved. He gave you an opportunity to see Jesus and the blood that was shed and covered your sins, and because you see that spiritual mystery or whatever, now you're saved. But your life is never transformed. It's deception. The reality of grace is being opened up and being able to see God, to be able to see His glory. And when you're able to see the glory of God, that's grace, because the glory of God renews your mind and allows you to see the soul. The soul, in the reality of the truth, is the soul is deaf, dumb, and blind to the glory of God. It can't see grace. It can't see it. Pride blinds the soul. Pride is the one that empowers the soul to live in I want to call sin, the fruits of the flesh. I got some scripture verse here that I want to read, and hopefully it'll clarify a little bit of what I'm saying, because we need to read it through scripture too, of what I'm saying. And it's very important to know this beginning truth in order for us to understand why we're doing what we're doing, why we congregate one another, and why we come together and need one another so that iron sharpens iron. You know, we can, you know, bring a rebuke when a rebuke needs to come, when we can bring truth when truth needs to come, so that we don't wander around lost, dumb, deaf, blind in the soul. Remember, the soul thrives on the sin nature. It wants you to do sin. It wants you to live on that sin nature. The soul, what we were born in, we were born in the soul. Out of your mother's womb, you were born in the soul. And that soul thrives on the sin nature. It thrives. It needs that food. It needs that life to live, because the purpose is to bring you to the outcome, which some people know it as hell. I call it the furthest point of glory. That's what I call it. I don't call it hell. I call it the furthest point of glory. When you know God, you know love, and when you know love, you don't want to be away from it. Some of us know love in the natural. It's like a sweetheart. When you have a sweetheart, a loved one, you don't want to be away from it. Even when that one's difficult, you don't want to be away from it. It's supernatural. It's a love. How many can relate with that? Amen. So grab hold of that and know that, that's like eternal life. And when you have eternal life, you want to be with that love. You don't want to be away from that love. The opposite, some people call it hell. I call it the furthest point of glory or the furthest point of love. When that love is no longer in your life, it rots you. You know how it feels? When that love isn't there, it rots the inside of you. So, biblically speaking, historically speaking, we'll call it hell for today. But let me read this verse out of the Bible, and it's out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. And this translation is out of the New Living Translation. So it's not out of the New King James. It's not out of the King James. It is out of the Bible, but it's just a different translation. And I want you to know it's safe to listen to different translations. Don't get nervous or upset because some people are just so diehard for a certain translation. But we need sometimes to hear it in a different translation. Just like soul, sinful nature, flesh. It's all the same word. It's all the same meaning. Spirit, Holy Spirit, Christ. It's all the same word. It's all the same meaning. We just need to open our minds and our hearts so that we can be saved. It's all about salvation. It's all about getting into eternal life. Amen? It's not about who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad. It's about crossing over to the light and coming out of darkness. And the darkness, unfortunately, we were born in it. We're all victims. You could be the best person ever, but you're in soul. And you're constantly going to be at war with the soul. This is spiritual warfare. It's not like fighting devils over there. It's like fighting the soul. The spirit wanting to be born again, resurrected, and warring against the nature of sin. The nature of sin is always knocking at your door. Because the soul needs to eat on it. The soul needs to live off of it. The soul doesn't want you to have eternal life. The soul wants to keep you in sin. And it's a very deceiving thing. Because a lot of times, because we're blinded by pride, doesn't see us eating the food of sin. It doesn't see us eating that fruit of sin. It doesn't see it. We just eat it, and we just eat it, and pride covers it by our self-righteousness. And it's like, don't call me bad. I'm not bad. I didn't do anything wrong. When if you had eyes to see, you can look back, and a spirit will look back and say, are you kidding me? How blind could you possibly see? You're like overindulging in sin, but yet you don't see it. How many people have been there before? Whether it was you eating the sin or you were the spirit that saw the sin. One or the other, you were there. Amen? So moving forward and understanding this truth, this is the beginning. This is what we're all fighting. This is all what we're struggling with. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a soul that was born in this world that feeds on the sin nature and is causing you to do sin whether you like it or not. That's why Paul says, why do I do the things that I keep on doing and I don't want to do it? Because they look back and say, oh my God, why did I do that? And Paul said, it's because of the sin that dwells within me. The soul just kept wanting to eat sin. I'm going to make it as simple as possible. Now, the job, eternal life, how to obtain eternal life is an awakening. It's grace. Grace says, do you see what you're doing? And the Spirit awakens and goes, yeah, and I don't like it. I'm getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to change. I don't want to live this life anymore. This is not healthy for me. This is making me sick. This is making me die. This is stealing my life. I am not enjoying myself anymore. That's grace. Grace is allowing you to see the sickness that the soul is producing by eating the sin nature, by eating the sin and causing the sin nature. So now the Spirit is on a journey. The Spirit is now starting to see that it needs food. It needs to live. But the food that the Spirit eats is the food of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And if we're not led to the truth, then our spirit will never find the fruit to survive. Most of the time it gets frustrated. Most of the time the soul deceives it and then puts on a religious garment and gives you the religion and then says you're a good person now because you got religion and just covers you still in the soul. And now what the soul does, it becomes a closet eater, putting on the form of righteousness in the religion on the outside in public, and then goes in the closet and indulges when no one's looking. The soul is still eating. The soul has never ate any spiritual food whatsoever. How many people are following me? And this is why it's so important for us to understand the truth so that we can continue to allow grace to open up our eyes to see how the soul is operating and catch it. Not condemn ourselves, but understand the truth. It's not like we're bad people. There is a force that is eating good food. And we just have to stop eating bad food and start eating good food. That's what we got to do. That is the truth of eternal life. Throw away all the religion. Throw all away the complications. Throw away all the... Learn the basic before we can run the race. Learn the basics and understand the mechanics of eternal life. Understand the mechanics of salvation. If we don't understand the mechanics of it, how can you possibly build anything if you don't know what you're building? If you don't even know how to build it. So we got to understand how to build our house and recognize what is good for the house and what is not good for the house. So let me read this one particular verses out of the New Living Translation from Genesis chapter 5, verse 16, starting verse 16, ending with 26. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires, or the soul. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature or the soul, the results are very clear. There's sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. See, I like to list the simple ones. When we start hearing sexual immorality, the soul's pride says, I don't do that, so I'm in good shape. You know, the soul looks at impurities and lustful, I don't do that, you know, and they justify the rest. But let's go down to the little simpler ones, like outbursts of anger, jealousy, quarreling, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And why? It's because the soul is eating the sin and keeping you in sin. It's just keeping you in sin. The soul is keeping you in sin. It's eating sin. It's yum, 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 and indulging in sin. And you're never able to transform into the divine spirit that God says, well done, come in. See, God only wants his son to come in through the gates, his son and his daughter. The divine nature. He only wants the divine nature to come into the kingdom of God. That's all he wants. That's why when those individuals came up and said, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name, obviously they had a thought of a relationship, but there was no relationship because the soul kept eating and deceiving them and just kept eating sin and deceiving them, putting on the righteous garment of pride and just kept, you know, pretending and never transformed. Never came to that place where they ate the fruits of the Spirit and transformed so that they can say, so that God can say, well done. Instead, he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Now, the worker of iniquity is just allowing the soul to indulge in the food of the flesh, the food of sin. It just yum, 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 yum. Just eating it up, yum, 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 yum. Every day, yum, 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 yum. Just eating it up. Now we have to look at our lives. How much sin are we eating? Think about it. Don't condemn yourself. Just stop eating it and change your diet. I want us to just change our diet. That's all. I'm not saying, hey, listen, I ate sin. I ate it pretty good. And I liked it. But I realized it wasn't healthy for me. I knew eventually it was going to cause sickness in my body. And it was going to lead to death. So I said to myself, do I want to live or do I want to die? Well, I love the glory and I want to live for the glory. So I'm going to stop eating the junk that is going to just bring me to death and I'm going to start eating the good stuff. How many people are following me on this one? It's not like, you know, you had any bad intentions or anything. You just didn't know that you were eating bad. That's how simple I'm going to make it. I don't want you to condemn yourself on the things that you're doing because we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. Don't tell me you don't sin because if you tell me you don't sin, you're a liar. Simple as that. And we're all liars because we're all going to say we don't sin. Every one of us, somehow or another, eat a little bit of that stuff. It's like going into your kitchen and you see an awesome piece of pie there and you know you're not supposed to have any, but you go into the closet and you eat a little bit. How many are at fault? I am. But I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm going to slap my hand and say, stop eating that because you know it's not good for you. You know it's not good for you, so stop eating it. And the temptation is there because we're all going to be tempted and it's like, And then you'll even sit there. Wow, where's that pie at? Oh, we don't have any of that pie. I think I'm going to go out and buy some pie. And then we go after it. Then we, you know, when we start meditating on it, listen, meditating on it isn't really a sin yet. So I want you to know that you're doing good if you just thought about it. It's when you start entertaining it, it becomes sin. It bursts into sin. So we got to be really careful about how we entertain it. If you beat yourself up on every thought that enters into your head, you got problems. Okay? You just simply laugh at it. Ha ha ha, I saw that cake. And guess what? You're not going to trick me again because I know that that cake is not good for me. I know that that pie is not good for me. I know it's going to lead me down a bad road. It's going to make me look. So I'm not going to eat it. I want to look good. I want to look good. I want the glory to look good. I want the glory. I want God to see, wow, you look good. You see? So let me finish about what I'm reading here. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. Now, they're kind of hard to relate with sometimes because the soul has a way of justifying what love is. You know, the soul has a way of justifying what joy is. You know, I was at a good party last night. You know, listen, you can party. I'm a partier. I party everywhere I go. I just want to party. Okay? It depends on how you party. You understand? I don't want you to condemn yourself because you're out partying. I want you to party. I want you to have a good time. Sometimes religion says you can't party at all. Don't take my partying away from me. I want to party. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy myself. I want to go out. I want to go places. I want to have a blast. I want to tease people. I want to aggravate them. I want to see how annoyed I can get with them. I want to, like, be a big itch. How many of you are a big itch? I love being a big itch. I'll go up to you and just hit you in the wrong spot or something just because I want to and make you, what are you doing? And stir you up and get you all, you know, bothered and all that. I love it. There's nothing wrong with it. So don't be, you know, don't think to be like, with God, you have to be like this. And you can't do nothing. You can't go nowhere. You can't watch TV. I love horrors. I love all that stuff. Every once in a while, I'll tell my kids, close your eyes. But I'm like, I want to see what's going on. But I'm not in sin. I want you to know I'm not in sin. Because I'm not going out and then I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, everything is good, but not always edifying. If you can't handle it, and then you're going out doing it, then you got an issue, and maybe you shouldn't see it. How many people understand that one? It's very important to grab hold of what I'm saying, because you got to have a life. You got to live in God. You see, you can't take away everything in your life. If you can control it, you're cool. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm saying here, because self-control is fruits of the Spirit. See, just because you can't control yourself doesn't mean that how should I rephrase this? If you can't control yourself, then it's sin. If you can control yourself, then it's not sin. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But I want to love my lover. You see what I mean? I want to love her. I want to love her. I want to love her. I'll tell you what, some religion doctrines won't even allow you to love your wife or your husband. You see where, does anyone see where I was going? I don't want to get too graphic, you know. I want to keep it simple. But I want you to kind of read between the lines too. Now, if you can't control yourself and you're running out there everywhere else in the, you know, around the world, you know, doing crazy stuff, then you got to like ask yourself, am I eating sin now? Is the soul eating sin because I can't control myself? Watch what happens here. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and this is what we should eat. Love, joy, and peace. Okay. Patience. Patience. If we're losing patience, we're eating soul. We're eating soul food. If we're eating patience, guess what? We're eating spiritual food. So let's just look at our diet. Let's try to keep it simple and just look at our diet. What are we eating? Kindness. Goodness. Here's a good one. Faithfulness. How many of us seem to worry and have a lot of fear and all that? Well, we got to start eating some fruit. Good fruit. And say, all right, Lord, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm going to show a little faithfulness. Gentleness. Don't be so harsh. Self-control, that's the one that I love, because this is the one that seems to help us eat good fruit or bad fruit. When we don't have self-control, we eat bad fruit. When we have self-control, we eat good fruit. And, you know, if you're like me, you want to work on a lot of self-control, because, you know, I think that's the biggest fruit of the Spirit that you can ask for. I think if you have self-control, you pretty much come into everything else. Because we got to control the soul. We got to control it. It's out of control. The soul is out of control. And then we got this pride telling us that we're okay. And then the pride puts on this righteous garment, and geez, if you're in religion, wow, there's no hope. Because you're just going to quote scriptures and justify and you know, bring mass confusion, and you'll never live. Pastor Sam and I had the pleasures of meeting someone like that not too long ago. What was it, about 2-3 weeks ago? Oh my goodness. There was nothing saving him. Nothing. He was never going to find salvation. But I'm going to tell you right now, he had salvation in his own mind. The soul got him to believe that he's saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, he is filled with deception and he'll never be saved. And it's a shame too, because I bet you, and you can vouch for this, he had a heart for God. But somehow or another, the spirit of deception came in and just altered and formed the soul in righteousness that is so disgusting, he'll never have salvation. He'll be one of those that go up to heaven and say, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he'll say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's him. We saw him. We got a glimpse of this individual. I never thought they existed, but boom, 2 weeks ago, it was right in front of my face. And I said, Lord, have mercy on him. Because obviously, there was a point in his life that he loved them. He loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. But I'm going to tell you what helps. Wounds, hurts, rejections, all these things begin to start forming a fortress, and the soul begins to lie and conforms you into a creature, I want to say, that is damned for darkness, because that's the soul's job. The soul's job is to deceive you for eternal life. It's to deceive you for hell. It's there to deceive you so that you are led down the dark road. Now, I don't want to put any fear in anyone, because I want us all to live a life and I want us to be happy. But at the same time, I want us to realize that we're subject for this nasty stuff. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. And listen, just look at it this way. The soul loves that pie that's sitting on the kitchen counter. The soul loves it. Don't ever forget that. And that pie is always in front of you. And you love it. You love it. And that soul turns that flavor. If you're craving vanilla today, it's a vanilla pie. If you're craving chocolate today, it's a chocolate pie. If you're craving, that soul knows how to turn that pie into your favorite taste bud. Just remember that. And then we'll be okay. How many of you have ever been on a diet before? Oh, I've been on many. And I'm going to tell you right now, that soul is such a liar. It tells me all the time, oh, it's okay, this is binge day, you're allowed to binge. And then one day becomes a binge day, and next thing you know, I got 10 binge days in a 7-day week. How is that possible? But the soul made it possible. And then I'm over here binging on 10 days in 7. Ah, bad, bad. Bad, bad soul. Then it says this here in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And that's how that verse ended. Now I'm going to add something. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, the soul, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. How many people got that? That's coming right out of the scriptures. Okay, that's not Jim's words, that's these words. Now, Jim says a lot of words that do match these words, but this is like word for word. It says right there, you will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, the soul, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. I don't know how much more clear can you put it. It says, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good and just. The right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do give up. We can't give up. So, as many times as I see that, now it's turning into coconut custard, meringue. When I see that pie, I got to realize that it's not going to be healthy for me, and I'm not going to be where I need to be if I keep doing it. And so we just got to not give up. We just got to keep trying. And then it says here, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And I love the ending, especially to those in the family of faith. I don't want us to get beat up just because we have family that we have to do good. It's the family of faith that we need to do good. So if you're mad at someone because they're in their family and you see that they're sinning, you know, be bold. Hopefully you can put them in their place. Don't let them wash over you. Because later it says in Scripture, when you see someone in the sin, try to help them out of it. It says it. We're not there yet. We're not there to help anybody out of sin yet. We need to help ourselves first. We got to resist that pie, and we really got to start eating the fruits of the Spirit. And don't beat ourselves up. You know, when we go into anything cold turkey, if you're like me, it don't last. We got to moderate ourselves into it. So it's almost like sin, but don't indulge so much, because I want you to moderate yourself into this truth. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to think it's too hard to be a believer or born again or to have Christ inside of you, be resurrected. I want you to want this relationship. I want you to have eternal life. I don't care what you're doing. I just care if you're helping yourself. That's all I care about. So please live your life and always have a conscious awareness of your food, if I could say that. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam to come up and give us a closing. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. I hope we were able to get some good nuggets today. Amen.
It was this week that I dealt with the sinner. My old friend, no matter what I said to him, held on to the fact that he was a sinner. And he could just keep sinning, but he can't stop sinning. He just go back and ask Jesus to forgive him. And ask him to forgive him. Ask him over and over and over, the same sins over and over and over and over. And I fought with him. For 4 days, I was in hell. We got done talking for 3 hours, and I felt like I've been through a war. And we both sat there like, and neither one of us were getting any ground. You know, there are two laws that work in you. One is the law of the soul. The other is the law of the spirit. The soul writes a law in your mind. Spirit writes a law in your heart. The soul law is there to steal, kill, and destroy, and keep you in condemnation. The spirit's law only cares about the things of the spirit. It only wants to grow in spirit. It doesn't want to please anybody. The soul wants to please everybody. It cares how it looks, how it smells, how it feels, how you perceive itself. It cares about everybody around it, the soul. It wants to show itself as something it's not. It defends itself to the death. But the Spirit is here to give life and life abundantly. But these two laws are constantly at work. You know, Paul said something great, said something amazing. He said, I would never even have known sin if it hadn't been for the law. If the law didn't tell me not to covet, I wouldn't even know what covetousness is. And covetousness is desires. Desires and lusts. You take a child, 5-year-old, 6-year-old child, They don't know what sin is. They were never taught what sin is. But, you know, my friend just kept arguing and arguing and arguing. Even though I'm saying, listen, there is a law of the Spirit written on your heart based on conviction that if you follow the conviction of your heart, there is no more sin. He didn't want to hear it. He kept saying, you're saying I can just go out and sin? I said, no. Your spirit's never going to lead you to sin. It's never going to lead you to these desires that are filthy. If you follow God, the conviction of your heart, he's never going to lead you down this road. But he can't trust himself. And I said, listen, Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. And he came for one reason, to set you free from the law of sin and death. That was his whole goal. And I said, and my goal is the same thing. If I can get you to believe that if you follow the conviction of your heart, if you follow the Spirit, there is no more sin and death. I said, didn't I do the same thing that Jesus tried to do? The same exact thing that he did by setting you free from sin. It's about repentance. There's no other sign given in the last days but the sign of Jonah the prophet that said, repent. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And there's two laws always at work in us. The soul writes the law in your mind, and the spirit writes the law in your heart. And there's a constant battle. Constant battle. Because the soul's always trying to reason, trying to defend itself, trying to keep you in guilt and shame and condemnation. Or the Spirit's trying to give you life by saying, yeah, what you did was wrong. But listen, it's okay. The conviction is not condemnation until you don't follow it. When you don't follow conviction, it becomes condemnation and you're condemned. But if you follow the conviction, you're going to find life and life more abundantly. Amen? We have to start following this law of the Spirit. Paul said this, it's no longer me that's sinning. It's no longer me that does the disobedient act, but the sin that dwells within me. It's no longer me that's doing it, but the sin that dwells within me. It's not you. Like I said a long time ago, the soul's biggest weapon is making you believe that he is you. He's not you. You are spirit. You're spirit. You're not soul. But that soul constantly lies and says, I'm you, I'm you, I'm you. He's not you. You're free. And listen, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, happiness, long-suffering, all these things come from when you start following the conviction of your heart. The law has been written on your heart. The law for you is different than the law for me. God wrote his law on your heart. And all you got to do is follow it. And the messages in this place, listening to them over and over and over again, will give you that strength to follow the law in your heart. We give you tools to battle the soul, deny the soul. If you resist the enemy has to leave. There's no other way to beat the enemy but to resist him. If you resist the enemy has to leave. We're being born again of something. The old man, the soul, has to die. When you resist him, he starves, like Pastor said, and he dies. When you follow the conviction of your heart, you're feeding the Spirit, and the Spirit grows to the point where you can truly... You know, the Trinity is this. The Spirit makes you a son. As that son matures, when you see me, you see the Father. That's the Trinity. It's that simple. People complicate this so much. The Spirit makes you a son, but when the son matures, when you see me, you see the Father. It's very simple. This gospel is not complicated. It's not crazy. It's simple. If it wasn't simple, no one could follow it. Listen to the messages over and over and over. Get them in you. Build a foundation and follow the conviction of your heart. That's God. Not the law written on your mind by the soul. That's death. Amen? Please join us Wednesday night for service, 7:30. It's really a great time. We cover the same things we cover in here, just rehashing it. If you're not listening to the messages, come out Wednesday. Get a whole nother message in you. Keep focused on this stuff. The Spirit wants to grow. Let's let it grow. Let's feed the Spirit. Stop feeding the soul. This is the way we find peace, joy, and happiness. Amen? Have a great week, guys.